David Simpson, host of the True Money Show, is on the Dude Maker hotline here at 844-527-8723. Yes, Brother Simpson, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Mike. If you'd have given me the mic 4 sentences ago, I had a perfect segue.
Well, back up 4 sentences and make the segue anyways.
All right. You said this is the way that America is going. Where else could they go? Right? Did you say that about 3 sentences ago, 4 sentences ago?
I most certainly did.
All right. So guess what I'm reading? Go to Joseph. Man, Mike, and I'm not trying to change the subject. We'll come back to it. I'm just saying I went to Mass this morning, saw our good buddy Peter there. I went to breakfast afterwards, and because I've been carrying these books I bought from your store around for my mother, I said, well, let me bring all these books in. So I grabbed the Go to Joseph book. I'm halfway through the first paragraph. I had to stop reading because I would have busted out crying in the Waffle House. That book is unbelievable. And if we would go to Joseph, it'd be a heck of a lot better place than we're going right now.
All right, so let's go to St. Joseph. What does he say in the first paragraph?
I'm in the first chapter. I swear I'm maybe halfway through. No, it's Joseph experienced confusion. Joseph experienced emotional disconnect from what he knew was true in his mind. For instance, he knew that his spouse was, or his betrothed spouse was a virgin. He knew that she was holy and good and pure, and yet she's pregnant. And he's like, what in the heck? How can I explain this? Oh, I can't explain it, but I can't turn over to the authorities because then they'll stone her to death because they'll think she committed adultery. And so he goes, well, I'll just leave. And he prays. And of course, the angel comes to him and explains to him, dude, your belief system is right. You are correct in your mind. Don't worry about what your senses are telling you. This is a miracle. And so he actually wakes up from his nap where he's having this dream. He sees Mary. Mary says the Magnificat. And it says in the book, he bowed down before her and worshiped the Lord in her womb.
Wow.
Now, if you can worship the baby in the womb, maybe we can worship other human life, not worship it. Maybe we can appreciate other human life as being worth something. What do you think?
Well, now I do remember reading that chapter and Go to St. Joseph, the book, which we do have in the Founders Trading Post at mikechurch.com/shop. I think we should always go to St. Joseph. And, you know, the part about the confusion, and we don't know a lot about St. Joseph, but we do know about the adult that he raised, don't we?
Yep.
And so when people say, well, Joseph is a minor character, you Catholics are weirdos, and that's a graven image, and you're an idiot, and God's going to strike you dead, and that ain't what the Bible says and all that. I'm sorry, but our Lord turned out to be a public figure that was worthy of thousands of people following him all over Galilee. Following him all over Jordan and Israel and what we call Syria today and everywhere else where he traveled. He didn't grow up in a vacuum. There's no tales. He didn't tell the apostles any stories of him miraculously providing manna from heaven for the Holy Family to eat in the house at Loretto, right? So it would only make sense to me that if I'm looking at, like I say about President Trump, look, you can't be all bad, because I look at his kids and go, those kids turned out pretty good. He's a hands-on dad, so, I mean, it can't be all bad. So,
well, you know, you're reading, is that Hillary White? Is that what the lady's name was you're reading?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you know, you're reading her, and she had this panic attack, you know, and, well, we all are having, like, massive daily panic attacks. We keep saying this is insane. We keep saying this is diabolical. We keep saying this is crazy. And it all is. And yet we go, but there's a sanity that we know that can prevail. Why won't it? And, but anyway, I guess it was just, it was such a personal thing. Now, none of this is known for sure. These are mystics who were speaking about St. Joseph and what they kind of had mystical understandings of his early life and his time with Mary. So it's not absolute. We don't know. It's not gospel, in other words, and we can't say it absolutely. But it's such a beautiful tale that here's a man, right? Yeah. He's responsible for a family or family to be. He has this, like I said, emotional, psychological disconnect. He can't explain it. His senses are telling him one thing. His knowledge and his belief system is telling him another. I mean, to me, that describes exactly what you and I go through every day. And then he prayed and he made a decision. What he thought was serving the Lord, going one direction, and the Lord said, "No, I want you to stay right here. This is exactly where I want you." And it was just such a moving thing. And I went home and talked to Rachel about it. I said, "You know, I've been having this struggle, and now I don't have the struggle anymore." And I'm hawking the book a little bit, but I'm also just kind of hawking the message, which is all of you men, every man out there who knows the right thing to do in your heart of hearts, in your mind, in your faith, in your belief system, you know the right thing to do. Don't stop doing it and fight the good fight in your place, in your way, and in your time, and keep on and be like St. Joseph. Make St. Joseph your model and do the work you're supposed to do.
Well, again, because we don't know much about what happened or the rearing of the Christ child, other than what mystics can reveal to us. We do know a couple things, though, David, that I think are instructive here. We know that when we celebrate the feast of the Epiphany, and then we celebrate the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we do know that Saint Joseph, even though it was revealed to him that the Messiah was to be his foster son, and knowing that, he didn't say no to the Mosaic Law.
Right.
Twice in the Holy Gospel. Twice he did not say in our Lord's early in his infancy, he did not say no. Two times he said yes. So we know he was obedient, right? We know that he understood. He must have been a good Jew, so he understood the law. She must have been a good Jew, knowing the law. I say being a good Jew, a rabbinical Jew at the time, not rabbinical. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Being a rabbinical Jew at the time, she knew the law, and they both conformed their minds to the reality. Well, maybe you know what? God hasn't told us that we should set any new paradigms or rules here, so we're just going to obey. You know, that's why the fruit of the mystery of the fourth decan of the Joyful Rosary, if you read it from any traditional point of view, which not to say that it's not in the other, I just haven't seen it, is obedience. The fruit of the mystery is obedience. You talk about this all the time. You talk about it to your children. You talk about it to me. Authority. David, the British people are acknowledging an authority that is totally corrupt, diabolical, and illegitimate, but they're acknowledging an authority. And while they're doing it, they're decrying that, don't you try and force your religion on us. It is a religion. And yeah, now their religion calls for human sacrifice now.
Yeah, I know. That's the one that is so difficult for all of us, I think. You know, you remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoon? But it wasn't Bugs Bunny. It was the time when they had the sheepdog and the wolf.
Yes, and, Ralph.
At one point, the wolf undoes his fur, and he's the sheepdog. The sheepdog undoes his fur, and he's the wolf, and then they keep doing that. That's the situation we're in, where people in authority are actually wolves, and they're supposed to have the sheepdog mentality of protecting the flock, and yet they're ravenous wolves eating the flock. And the flock, that's us, is running around going, well, who do I lay my head upon? Who do I trust? And the answer right now is you really have no one to trust but God. What did the apostles tell when they were brought in and were going to be stoned for preaching Christ? They said, we have to obey God and not men. Sometimes, not all the time, most times we look up and we respect the authority and we follow the authority and we obey the authority because it is the authority. We know authority is good. But the devil has done a real trick to us, and that trick is to put that wolf in that sheepdog's coat, and we have to know that is a wolf and say, no, sir, and go to the one that gives us the actual law, the lawgiver, Christ, our Lord, and God himself, and obey him over men. Now, it's a mighty task, because then we got to stop short of cutting their heads off and trying to assert ourselves as the authorities, because we know we're not. But that's our task before us. And so all men, that's why I was calling out the men, all men are ahead of their families. All men know that they have authority in their home. Well, exercise that authority and then try to bring it to the community square. And let's see if we can make a difference. This Alfie story, to bring it full circle, Mike, it's just one more heartbreak in this long series of heartbreaks. But when you part, you know, we've had abortion for what, 40 years? I don't know how many years is now. Whatever, coming on 50 years, I guess. The Alfie story personalizes it because now you have a name, and you go, well, they're just going to take a baby, or take a kid and kill them. And the answer is yes. They're going to take a kid and kill him. Why? Because they can. And we have to stand up against it. We may not stop this one, but we sure as heck better start praying that we can stop the next one.
Well, one more thing before you go. Now, I'm reading the book, and I keep telling people, The Incredible Catholic Mass by, let me reach over here and grab it, Father Martin von Kulkem. And I am I'm near the end. I'm about two-thirds of the way through, a little over two-thirds of the way through it. One of the things I had never considered, and I know this is part of church teaching, I just maybe had never heard it. And if I did, I didn't think it was important. But now I know it, and I'm starting to meditate upon it, and it's like dogma to me now. And it's like, wait a minute, this is a game changer for me. Father Kulkem goes to a very elaborate explanation in the book, The Incredible Catholic Mass. Get it in my bookstore at mikechurch.com today. Don't put it off. Get it today while we have supply. David, he goes to a very thorough explanation of, and he points out that if you read the Old Testament from the chapters of Exodus after the Israelites leave Egypt, all the way through the Maccabees, all the way through the end. If you read all that, there's a couple of things that remain constant with any person at any favor with God and with any of the Israelites that are written about favorably in the Old Testament. You probably know what it is, and that is that they never abandoned the sacrifice of blood they were commanded to yield to God every day, the Holocaust, as they called it.
Mm-hmm.
Not one day did they ever fail to offer up the blood of lambs and the blood of goats or whatever the sacrificial animal was called for, as prescribed. Now, you and I know that this sacrifice was replaced by the sacrifice at Golgotha on Calvary. And when our Lord gave up the fourth cup and shed his precious blood and then instituted the Holy Mass with the Eucharist, that is the same, that replaces that. And it must be infinitely more, so much more pleasing to God, because what did he allow our Lord to do after he died, David Simpson?
What did he allow our Lord to do?
Yeah, what did our Lord go and do before he resurrected?
Well, he went to the limbo of the just and grabbed all.
And then he opened something.
He opened the gates of heaven.
He opened the gates of heaven. Now, this is a key point. I can tie this to our current pickle here. The gates of heaven were closed to animal sacrifice. It wasn't good enough. That was not sufficient to release the people, the saints in limbo. It was not sufficient. Only the blood of the true lamb could release the saints in limbo and open the gates to heaven. That is a sacrifice of the Mass. It is a bloodless sacrifice, and we've been practicing it for 2,000 years. Well, some of us have. Now, what are they doing? What is this paradigm change? Now, let's offer up, as I say, the civil state today is a religion. They offer up daily, and they insist on it daily. They offer up the sacrifice of the blood of the innocent. It's a human sacrifice now. That's why they got to have Alfie's blood. That's why euthanasia is baked into socialized medicine. That's why the demonic and the evil want it so desperately. And that's why we're stuck with a culture that thinks that contracepting the next generation away, or euthanizing the current away, or aborting the next generation away is okay. It's the blood sacrifice for their civil religion, sick, twisted faith, brother.
And Mike, I think to expand on that point, because I think you're absolutely right. I mean, so we do have a new sacrifice. It's a human sacrifice. Happens every day in America, every day all around the world. As a matter of fact, we export it quite a bit too. And we tell third world countries they shouldn't have so many kids, so we insist upon contraception abortion there. However, we can expand it. Remember my little piece I did a week or so ago on the slave new world? Even the living are not living. We're dead. We're basically automatons walking around doing functions for this grand design, the civil state, the corporatism, whatever. And I really do. I believe there's a new slavery, And it's a slavery to, you can call it slavery to your cubicle, wage slavism. You can call it whatever you want.
Slave New World.
Yeah, it's the slave New World. And so we have human sacrifice for the ultimate sacrifice. And then we're personally sacrificing everything else, our lives to this grand design, that's not Christian. And so we're all in it. We're mired in it. So I would expand your point to even include the living who are sacrificing their lives, not for goodness, truth, and beauty, but for lucre, fame, sex, you name it.
Wow. Now, I hadn't immolated myself, but thanks.
Well, listen, but
I'm kidding.
My first point. So go to Mike's store. Go to the Founders Trading Post. I'm this go to Joe's book. I know why my mother wants to give it to both all my brothers here. Brian Kitchick's done a great job there. I shouldn't say that because I haven't read the whole book. I read one half of one chapter. I was just floored by it. And so, St. Joseph, pray for us.
Well, you told me once upon a time when I first started going, when we first moved over to St. Jane de Chantal Parish Church, which you kind of grew up in, at least partially, there was always that statue of St. Joseph up there on the right-hand side, and he was always looking down on you like, David, what did you do? Go ahead.
He's a kindly father, but he can sure penetrate you with his eyes, like every good dad can.
Yeah.
Right? When they look at you the right way, you know, oh boy, here it comes.
Well, I always look at that that beautiful likeness of St. Joseph every Sunday, and if I'm standing in line for a confession, he's looking at me like, Michael, what did you do? But if not, if I'm on my knees praying for conversions or for mercy or for the kids or whatever, it's like, I got you, bro. I got you. I got this.
Well, on my jacket for church, I wear a St. Joseph pin. I've been wearing, a friend of mine gave it to me years ago, and I've been wearing it ever since. And I do have an affinity for St. Joseph. I will say I'm neglectful of him sometimes in my prayers and meditations, and that's just a shame. It should be a black mark on my soul, I'm sure. But so here I am thinking, okay, I've been wearing this pen for years. I'm reading this book now, and the statue, as you well related. So maybe that trinity of things has finally gotten through my thick skull. Dude, this is the man you need to talk to. goodness gracious.
Well, David, you brought a lot of great stuff to the table, and there's a lot of conversation, and I got some news updates on this. Thank you for the call, brother. Appreciate it.
All right, Mike. Have a good day, brother.
Yeah, you too. We'll see you very soon. As David Simpson, host of The True Money Show, just another reason why you want to be listening to the Crusade Channel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because David's part of our broadcast team.